is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Give the Lord some praise. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for this opportunity to study your word tonight. Allow your spirit to meet us in the text that we shall study. And then show us ourselves, God. And if it is not like you, we pray that your spirit will convict us and then convince us to change and be converted to your way. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what you shall do for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the saints said, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I've been impressed in my spirit to speak about a subject Minister Thomas ministered at noon on last Wednesday, and he was dealing with a continuation and a derivative of, if you will, or outgrowth of, dealing with unforgiveness and the like. And yet the natural growth of unforgiveness is bitterness, a spirit of bitterness. And I think all of us at some point in time in our lives have experienced both unforgiveness and bitterness, either toward someone else or have experienced it toward us. And I think it's helpful for us to study this because some of us don't understand the dangerous effects connected with a spirit of bitterness, and how if we do not conquer bitterness in our lives, bitterness will conquer us. And the end result would be demonstrous, terrible. So I want you to look and see, if you will, in the book of Ephesians as we begin this study tonight. I know it's not a pleasant subject, but all of what we study is not necessarily pleasant, but it's helpful to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and verse 31, you're going to find some interesting words. And Ephesians 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all," what's the first word? Let all bitterness, not some bitterness. Somebody say all bitterness. That means in every area of your life, you need to let bitterness go, because bitterness grieves the Holy Ghost. Now, you become bitter, and I think I need to take just a moment out and say what that is, because you become bitter and a slave to bitterness when you choose to hold on to a painful memory. If you hold on to the memory, then you hold on to unforgiveness. You hold on to unforgiveness. You put yourself in a difficult position with God, because if God says you won't forgive your brother, then he won't forgive you. So then you set yourself up for being unforgiven by God of your sins and trespasses and shortcomings and mess ups and mistakes, etc. But then not only that, it fosters a spirit of bitterness. The instant the situation has passed and gone, and yet the memory of it is relived over and over and over again. And every time you relive that memory, choosing to do so, it creates a continuation of bitterness in you. It festers inside of you, and it becomes worse and worse and worse and worse. And without ever saying a word, like a cancer, it begins to eat up all of the inside of your spirit as relates to, again, understanding that you have the right and the choice to choose whether you forgive and let go or you remain in unforgiveness and hold on to bitterness. One of the reasons what people don't understand about not forgiving somebody else is it eats you up. It tears you down. You're the one who can't sleep at night. You're the one who lose your appetite. You're the one who, when you see that person, your stomach turns. You're the one. All of this stuff happens to you, not to the person you won't forgive. And bitterness eats you up, but you're going to see also it bothers and it messes up. It just burdens the Spirit of God. Again, Ephesians 4, 30 and 31 says, looking at that word, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then the word is, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, bitterness starts it off, but look at how it progresses. It doesn't just stop at bitter or being bitter. Bitterness is a spirit, and so with that spirit, it fosters other things that are negative. And it goes on and it says again, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Let all of that be put away from you with all matters. That's the end result of that. That's the end making up of all of that. Now, when you think about it, and if you've been bitter, I mean, you can hear somebody talking and they're saying something about somebody else good. Because you're bitter, you're going to have something negative to say. Your input is going to be, what's wrong? Nothing. I ain't going to say nothing, man. All I got to tell you is everything that shine ain't gold here. You know, you start throwing out those kind of innuendos and so forth. Well, what's wrong with you? I'm not going to say nothing, but I just tell you, be careful, yeah? You know, you start acting like that and you start doing stuff like that because you are bitter. And keep in mind now, it's eating you up because you don't let it go. Being bitter comes with making a choice not to forgive. Let me just see the hands of any person in here, any place and space in your life where you've been hurt or disappointed by someone. Okay. More than one time. More than five times. All right. You get my point. Now, how many of you have been hurt so bad that you thought you'd never get over what you've been hurt by? Okay, now I won't talk to the real folk. How many of you have been hurt so bad that you're still dealing with the hurt? Now we're getting closer now. Okay, now I appreciate those of you who raised your hand, because some of you who are dealing with it are too bitter to raise your hands. And I need you to know this message is especially for you because it's about bringing deliverance to your situation. Now notice again, if you grieve the Holy Ghost, and bitterness is the beginning of what grieves him. And whatever it is that we have done or not done or someone has done to us, we need to put that in check because, again, it always severs, cuts, unties the relationship that begins or that we have beginning with the Holy Ghost. Because what he does is he convicts you of that. He shakes you. He calls your attention to it. If you don't deal with that, you're saying to him, I don't need your help. I don't want your help. I want to hold on to this pain. I want to get even. I want to get back. That's not the way of God. And so when you grieve the Holy Ghost, he stops dealing with you in areas like that. He removes himself because he can't stay in that place. He's not going to be. If your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, bitterness makes it unclean for him to stay there. And he's not going to dwell in an unclean temple. All right, I want you to see bitterness will paralyze all progress in your divine assignment. Turn to 1 Samuel, if you will, chapter 18. 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 7 and 9. And bitterness will paralyze all progress in your divine assignment. God's given you divinely something to do, and yet if you become bitter, taking your eyes off of God and what God's told you to do, and then you become jealous at somebody else. You lose your focus, lose your blessing, lose your benefit. Now, you know the reason why many of us get jealous with somebody else doing something? It's not so much that we can't do. It's more of us being bitter with other folk because we are not doing what we know we can and or should be doing. And when we put our focus on them as opposed to him, we lose out. Now, this is this issue that David and Saul had, and Israel is elevated to they're reaching out more toward David. Now, David was anointed to be king, but at this time, Saul was still the king. And David knew that he could not put his hands on Saul, who was an anointed of God. And he had the opportunity to kill Saul, but because of his knowledge of God's word and understanding, everything that Saul did to David, David would not allow that to get in his spirit and become bitter about it. But rather, under his anointing, he kept his focus and did what God wanted. He started God shifting the favor from Saul to David. And the women are playing and singing this song in verse 7 of the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Verse 8 says, and Saul was very wroth or angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Now, Saul became so angry that the women were shouting out, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. Saul is the king. He could have commanded his army to go out and to devour kingdoms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As king, all of that came back to his honor, to his glory. But yet, he saw David having this ability to slay more than him as an offense to him. And so he figured, not understanding the anointing of God, not understanding him taking his focus off of what God had assigned him to do and putting it on David. He became bitter at the fact that other folks started favoring and recognizing his talents and his gifts. Now, he became so angry at this, the Bible said that from that day forward, he began to eye David. Now, you know what the eye is, don't you? I ain't got to give you the eye. You know what the eye is. But it really meant he sought opportunity to get rid of him. It literally meant that from that day forward, he wanted to get rid of the competition. Can I tell you, competition is healthy? Yeah. The only folk who don't want competition are folk who don't want to do their best. Because here's what you need to understand. If again, like David understood, who had been anointed to be king, he understood that though he had been anointed to be king, he couldn't be king before his time. God still had a king on the throne. He just knew he was the one waiting to be when the other was done. And if you've got that knowledge and that understanding underneath the skin, there ought to be a peace to wait till your turn come, knowing that what is for you is for you. If it's not for you, there's nothing you can do to change the situation. Now look at this, because I want you to see something else. Let's, if you don't mind, go on to the second chapter of Samuel, the sixth chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I want you to see something else here. Because bitterness can birth seasons of divine curses upon your life. Look at this, the 23rd verse of the 6th chapter, 2 Samuel says, therefore Michelle, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Now, that might not seem much like much, but this woman's despising, and I'll go a little further than this in a moment, King David caused her, because he was anointed and she despised God's anointed, she then had to suffer the consequences of despising God's anointed. So then God refused to let her have a child or bear a child or have the fruit of her womb because of her own bitterness. See, the reason why you can't be productive in some areas is because of your bitterness. not someone's bitterness toward you, but your bitterness toward somebody else. Now, I want you to see something else here, because when you look at this, your bitterness, and listen at this closely, because you're going to see it in Scripture, your bitterness can drive your loved ones into the arms of others. Now, some of y'all are too holy, and you say, that's unscriptural. I'm glad you said it. Look at the Bible. We're back in the 6th chapter again. I want you to look at the 16th verse, and we're going to read through and see what the Word says. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dwelt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Y'all like, I know y'all like, "I don't believe I just read what I read." Some of y'all don't even know what you just read. Let me explain what you just heard here. Now, David heard this situation, and let me tell you about bitterness, because when you got a spirit of bitterness, nobody wants to be around that. I'm going to just be real with you. It creates a very negative and nasty atmosphere. When you are bitter, it makes those of your loved ones not want to be around you. You're agitated, irritable. You act nasty and funky and stinky and all the rest of that stuff. Your whole mentality is that way. You just jump up, fuss about the least little nothing. And that kind of thing make folks like, "Ooh, no, I don't want to be right." But let me tell you what happens also. You wonder why. And people, listen, there is never, ever an excuse to break from your vows and run somewhere else. However, David was a man that had more than just one wife. And so in this situation here, what you're also going to realize and recognize is that though she was a wife, she never got the full benefit of being one of the wives, even though she had every right biblically to. But because of her bitterness and bitter spirit, she made her own husband not even want to be with her. Now, he comes in. He has just danced before the Lord, played and rejoiced before the Lord. He comes in his house. Now, keep in mind, she wouldn't even come down to the celebration. She's upstairs looking down on him. Look at him. He's gotten all excited, and he's danced before the presence of the Lord. Now, he comes up. Now, you would think, because here again, he would want the person that's closest to him to celebrate with him. He comes home. His wife is not celebrating. He comes through the door and says, "Here come Mr. King David. Just done danced all out of your clothes, all in front of your maid servants and all the rest of that. You ought to be ashamed, acting like a..." And literally, she called him a stripper. And David listens at her with her bitter spirit, because, you know, I mean, he knows where this is coming from. And so David begins to, you know, to address the situation. He says, "Listen," he said, "I want you to realize this dance I did was a private dance before the Lord. It just so happened to be in a public place. And other folks saw me dancing, not for them, but for him. And because they happen to be around and witness my praise and my glory and my dance before the Lord, so be it. But that was nothing ugly nor nasty about giving God my best. And I got news for you. I praised him and gave him glory because he elevated me over your daddy. And he gave me power and authority and put Israel into my control. And listen, I got a reason to dance and to shout. And if you think that was something, keep on looking. If I was so debased and I was so ugly, you ain't seen nothing. And look at what he goes on to say. And the women you talking about? You're my wife and you dishonor me. You embarrassed of me. I humiliate you. He said the ones you're talking about would be glad to be honored to be with me. Nah, that thing got pretty nasty. I'm like, David, Lord. But ain't no sense in us acting like that because some of y'all done act the same way. If truth be told, you might not have had the guts to say what David said. But the truth is you had that mentality. You had that mentality because you then, again, and the truth about it is nobody likes to be around anybody bitter. So next time you start talking the talk, you check yourself. Check yourself. How different could this have been? Would this have been had she not had a bitter spirit and could have celebrated with him, but rather she tolerated him? And I got news for you. People get but so much of being tolerated. And the devil uses that bitter spirit in the home to drive that person out of the home to somebody who will celebrate them. And people always wonder how the secretary, how the maid, how that woman that don't add up to your high, wonderful, sophisticated standard, she's nothing compared to you, but she got your man. Y'all getting quiet here now. But I'm trying to help somebody here because you might be driving your blessing away. I'm not just talking about the women, I'm talking about the men. I'm talking about people, period. That bitter spirit, because somebody's gonna see and appreciate, and that's what David was saying. You tolerate me, but somebody appreciates me. And I'd rather be in the presence of somebody who appreciates and celebrates me than somebody who's always tearing me down, pulling me down, got something negative to say. You get enough of that. You're only human. And even the best of us, and even in the spiritual maturity that we may be in, get weak in that moment of continuation of being tolerated instead of celebrated. Everybody celebrates you, you come home and they. Everybody, you did good. How you think I did? You did all right. I'm trying to help y'all here now. No compliment is greater than that from the one who is the closest to you. If you're not married, it's your mama, your daddy, your significant other. If you're married, it is your mate or it is your children. It is those who are closest to you that matters the most. And when you are not celebrated there, then if with constant toleration, you are pushed into the arms of someone else's appreciation. And that's how the devil uses that tool of bitterness. Bitterness. I want you to see something else. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. Because I want you to see something else too. Bitterness distorts your understanding of those who are closest around you. Look at what verse 15 says of the fifth chapter of Galatians. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Bitterness will cause you, if you're not careful. Notice it starts off with biting and then, which is a term of backbiting or being bitter to the point where you are trying to destroy one's reputation, etc. But then it goes from biting to devouring. It started off by you know, maybe talking bad, and then from talking bad to, you know, trying to destroy their reputations or whatever the case is. But what you've got to realize is whenever you do that to somebody else will do that to you. And there's nothing more terrible to the world than when church folk, Christian folk, supposed to be God's family and God's folk, get on worldly jobs and tear down one another. Talk about one another. Talk about whatever it is they're talking about in an ungodly way. And again, all of us have been hurt. All of us have been misunderstood. All of us have said some things we should not have said. And even what we said might not have been what we meant, but we have got to learn how to operate in the Word. And the Bible says, if your brother offend you, first thing you need to do is go to him. Because sometimes what you don't realize is folk can just be talking and not mean what you think they're meaning, or it doesn't come out the way it was meant to come out, or maybe things did come out the way they meant them to come out, but they didn't mean it to the degree that you've taken it to. And it is your job and your responsibility to say, you know what, brother, you know, you said something the other day that really it bothered me, and it's still bothering, and I want to address that because I don't want to get a bitter spirit, and I don't want to have, you know, an ungodly thought towards you. You said such and so. Was this what you meant, or you said such and such, and I think you need to know that it affected me in a negative way, and you give that other brother or sister an opportunity to address the issue that has caused the offense. Now, when you do that, you tear down the opportunity for the enemy to make mess out of something that was not intended to be messy, or to cut down the continuation of this thing getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because as it bothers you more, you begin to bother other folk more with it. You begin to talk about it. And when you talk about it, it begins to tilt toward your own tainted ideology toward that thing. And you can make a big, how many of you have said something and it's been mistaken? How many of you have thought you understood somebody to mean something and it was totally different when you addressed it and it wasn't what they meant, but when you actually talked with them, you found out you were wrong and they were right? I mean, see, the devil don't want you to communicate, because if you do that, then that means you tear down his attempt to divide you. But you become bitter, and you know, people need to recognize that whenever you're in a setting where people have the opportunity to hear and take their own thought pattern and processes and process a thing, if they're not where they ought to be, it's easy to misunderstand something. But if it's gonna hurt you to the point where you're gonna become bitter at it, or you're gonna leave the church, or leave the choir, or leave the ushers, or leave the deacons, or leave this, that, and the other, you have got an issue, because number one, you didn't go and address the issue. Had you addressed the issue, you're going to recognize that family folk every day fall out, have issues, but they work on them and they deal with them and they still family. You're going to go through some stuff. There is nothing perfect. There is nobody perfect. So the truth of the matter is you're going to have to deal with what's dealing with you so that you can release that bitter spirit that will overtake you. Because no matter wherever you go, again, you're going to find problems. If you got problems in this church, go to another church. I promise you, if you go there and attend regularly, you're going to have problems with that. I promise you, if you divorce this man or this woman and marry another one, you're going to have problems with the next one you marry. Y'all getting quiet on me here. I promise you, if you quit this job because you got issues on this job, get another job, you're going to find some issues on another job. I'm trying to help somebody. You can keep running all your life trying to find the answer, but you may not recognize that it might be your own bitter spirit that's caught. Because when you run with that bitter spirit, wherever you run to, that bitter spirit is going to be right there. So you deal with it. You deal with it. Somebody has disappointed you. Somebody has let you down. Somebody has broken your heart. Somebody has hurt your feelings. Somebody has done all that stuff. You need to deal with that because you're hurting. And you need to deal with it in a way that's going to get rid of it. Address it the way God says. Because if you do not, you're going to discover you're going to hurt and hinder your own blessings. I want you to turn, if you will, let's look at Job. Chapter 2. And you're going to see that bitterness can cause you to become a stumbling block to others. Bitterness can cause you to become a stumbling block to others. Now, Job